Alright, so we're back in C++ world again, and we're with Alessandro
Contenti.
Contenti, so it's a cool name.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty fun.
And we had Martin Lovell on here before, and you're actually one of the devs that was doing the work implementing what we were talking about, and safe libraries,
yes,
etc.
Safe libraries and safe CRT, safe C++ libraries, safe ATS. Safe MSC. I've been working for Martin for, I guess 4 years. And just now Martin left Visual C++ and moved to Windows. And so I stepped up to be the dev lead.
Dev lead.
The developer lead for the C++ libraries. So that's my new role.
Cool. So now you have devs working for you.
Yes. I have 5 reports.
I'm
really happy. It's a very good team. And
But you're still writing code.
Very, very little, not too much.
Okay.
I'm mostly code reviewing and so on. It's kind of a transition for me. I really like to write code. So.
Yeah.
But even in the last few months, I mean, more and more as you get a senior developer, you write less code and you review more. You think how to do things and you just fix important bugs or stuff like that.
Excellent. Cool.
So that's what we did. Should we?
Sure. So let's ask.
For example, we were talking about the check iterators, and we made some. I made some fixes with Martin. We decided to make some fixes between 2005 and 2005 SP1. So to make them work a little bit better. But so I like to talk a little bit more about the checked iterators, how they work.
Yes.
And describe them. And it's basically the checked iterators are the base of the safe C++ libraries, what we call secure SCL. That is probably the pound define you recognize from the code and so on.
Okay.
So so I can explain that later.
Let's do it. Let's dig into checked iterators.
I always like to go.
You like
the whiteboard? Yes.
Right on.
It's faster.
Yeah.
So I have to clean it up for this stuff.
Yeah, the whiteboard is a good thing.
The whiteboard is fun,
So I have 2 whiteboards because I always use my hands. So let's start with something very simple, right? We have a standard vector of integer. And I don't know if you saw Martin's talk last time about secure CRT, safe CRT. We were talking about arrays and C constructs that are, much more unsafe than a standard vector.
Okay.
The cool stuff about the vector is that it can contain as many integers as you want, but it also, the vector retains the information of how many integers you have inside the vector.
So you can't have an integer overflow?
Yeah.
For example.
Integer overflow, what do you mean?
Well, so my point is when you say you're checking it such that it
we
won't.
We are checking the size, yeah.
Yes, that's
because
what
when
I
you
meant.
Say checking integer overflow, you also talk about when you really overflow the 32 bits of the
got
integer.
Got it. It's that's a different thing.
Yeah.
That's the
it's
yeah,
another
so I used
interesting
the wrong.
Thing. that we are looking into that because
sure.
it's another security issue we'll try to address. And maybe that's what we're going to do for the next release after Orcas. There are already some libraries or some tools around there that are very good.
Excellent.
So back to this. So if you decide to create a vector with 10 elements, they are initialized to 0. And what's happening here is that you have, let's say this is a D1, and you do another vector. And you have 20 elements in that.
Okay.
And for example, you want to copy from V2 to V1. And you use a standard copy, and you do V2 begin, V2 end, and you copy to V1 begin, right? So the compiler is not going to tell you anything in this case, because everything is correct. You're just copying between this range and the other range here, and you copy inside V1. The problem is that V1 doesn't have enough space. So in this case, with a normal STL implementation, what the standard says in this case, the C++ standard says that you're kind of in an undefined behavior case because you're writing past the end of the of the vector, sure. of the V1 vector. So what did we do? We add some checks into the basic building block of STL that are the iterators. So V1 is gonna tell you when you're trying to go over and you're trying to write into the 11th element.
Okay.
And so it's gonna, at that point, it's gonna stop the program. That's right. What we do with secure CRT as well, and what we do with secure C++ as well.
So do you throw an exception, or you just...
We don't throw an
you
exception.
You just die.
Even throwing an exception is kind of unsecure.
Because somebody can catch it and keep
correct,
going.
Correct, yeah. correct. Or somebody can write their own exception.
So you just kill it.
We just kill the program. And we call Watson, basically.
Okay.
So Dr. Watson comes up, we grab the step, and all the information that are used for it. So we already have stuff like this. That is because our C++ libraries, mm-hmm. the standard C++ library, are written by Dinkumwer, by Bill Plauger and his man. Mm-hmm. And they already have checks like that that are only enabled in debug because they are very, very
expensive
to do, because they also check much more complicated and smaller issues like iterator invalidation and so on. Mm-hmm. And so you need I can talk about that a little bit
sure.
later, because
absolutely.
It's kind of interesting talking yeah. to. So what we did instead is kind of a lightweight version, the secure SCL, we call it, mm-hmm. It is a safe C++ library. I was just down in ST West
uh-huh.
2 weeks ago, and people were ready to be complaining about all our overloads of names. So like safe libraries, then we call it secure CRT because it was the internal name.
Yeah,
we should be a little bit more
So what is the official name of this?
The official name is Safe Libraries, okay. And this part of the Safe Library is Safe C++ Libraries.
Good.
But if you look for checked iterators, basically, you got just Google for it, checked iterators, and you find all the information you want.
Sure. So good stuff.
That's good. So what did we do here? So basically, the iterator here is gonna get mad and is gonna, stop the problem. Well, how does this work?
Mm-hmm.
So I like to go a little bit down to the matter. Right?
That would be good.
So the iterator here is very simple. The vector iterator usually is just a pointer inside the iterator. What we did, we had some information. If you think this is the iterator of a vector, what do we do? We add it's the pointer. So we have, for example, the pointer in this case, the position, but we also add, I'm simplifying here, there's no templates and so on, it's not important. We also add a pointer to the original container. So each iterator knows who its parent container is.
Okay.
So what do we do? Every time you do ++, for example, there's operator ++ here,
mm-hmm.
Normally you would just do ++ PTR, right? You would just move along inside it. You would just move the pointer to the next element. In this case, here, if secure CL is turned on, if the checked iterators are turned on, what we do is we go back to the container and we ask, can we do this? Can we really do a ++? Mm-hmm. Are we already at the end or not?
Okay.
So in that case, that's what you're seeing here. Because
okay.
What happened? We copy the first one, second one, until the tenth one, and then we try to do a V1
plus. Okay.
And in that moment, we die.
And so V1 has some sort of keeping a record of where
yes.
it's at.
Yeah, where it's at. It knows where it is, and also how many V1 begin. This iterator
yeah.
knows where is it and who's, how many, basically where is it compared to the container size.
Absolutely.
So, but actually this is a simplified version of what's happening, because we can see immediately that this is kind of a little bit slow, right? For a copy of 10 and 20 elements, fine.
Mm-hmm.
But if we have to do this check all the time,
yeah,
it's a little bit too slow. So maybe we don't want to do that. So what we did instead in copy is something a little bit more clever. So this is our idea of the checked iterators, right? These are the checked iterators. Are iterators that check the boundaries of their parent container.
Okay.
But when you want to go full speed, we go back to the unchecked version of the iterators. And so we just go back basically to raw pointers that don't do any check. But there are some situations when this is fine, for example. When you're moving from begin to end, this is a safe range, I would say, right?
Okay.
Because we already done. We already, there is nothing else we can check in the end. So if you get the beginning, you get the end in this light version of the check-in, we just uncheck this iterator. We uncheck them. And we uncheck this too. And then we call again another version of copy, basically, with these unchecked iterators. This first and second, first and last. And we put it in a test iterator.
Hmm.
So let me write the code to be more clear. So this is the code of this, the code of standard copies like that. We have an iterator, first, iterator, last, and there is a test iterator. And what we do here, we do two things. We create two, we call standard copy. An internal version of copy,
okay,
that uses an unchecked first and unchecked last. And here we do another thing. We do another cool thing. Copy always returns the, how do you call it, test iterator. Copy returns always the position of this last iterator when we end. It's
okay.
Going to return V1 begin plus 20 in this case.
All right.
Because we copy 20 elements. So this iterator is going to be our result value. And we do, what we do is we have this last iterator and we add last . What do we do here? Hmm. Basically, we have this last minus first that is going to be 20, right?
Hmm.
Because the last position minus the begin position in V2 is 20.
Sure.
So what we try to do, DST, remember, is pointing to the beginning of V1.
Huh.
Immediately, the first thing we do in standard copy, we are going to try to move this iterator here 20 steps forward. It's very fast, normally. It's a very fast operation with they're called random access iterator.
Okay.
So it's not going to be very expensive, but it's going to be a checked operation. So
huh.
We check, DST is going to check that there are at least 20 elements available in the destination. Immediately here, you're going to fail if you don't have enough space, you see?
Sure.
So immediately here you're gonna die if there is nothing. We don't even try to copy anything.
Excellent.
So at this point we know we have enough space, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we don't need to do the check every time for every single element that we copy. You don't have to check. For every plus plus we do, we don't have to check.
Sure.
So we uncheck again the DST. So what's happening here? This very, very fast copy is the original copy that you have in the normal STL, in the normal STL where secure CL is not on. So when you pass this point and you arrive at this call, you are as fast as before, even a little bit faster because you're really using row pointers in this case for vectors.
Excellent.
So this is something that, I mean, we thought about, so this check is very important. It seems like a very innocuous thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
You're just adding plus 20
sure.
And that's it. Seems not even very important, then of course here you're going to return less.
Sure.
And most of this code, the unchecking an iterator is a very fast operation again. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, doesn't take so much space and so on.
No, it's actually cool.
In these things, so that's, I mean, we saw that, of course, if you do these things much, a lot of time, if you do a lot of small copies, maybe these two piece of code,
mm-hmm.
you're gonna see a little bit of percent in performance,
mm-hmm.
but you're also secure. I mean, you're also mm-hmm. safe that you're not gonna write past over this.
Sure, but I mean, it's just one check. So it's not going to be
it's just one
gigantic.
Check. It's not, if you're copying 20,000 elements, you just do one check.
Exactly.
And you don't do 20,000 checks.
So that's which is that's actually, I mean, it makes
yeah.
sense. In the
yeah.
end, you want to make
end,
sure
yes.
you have enough room.
Correct. So that's the only thing you want to do. So that's one of the underlying philosophy of the check iterators.
Uh-huh.
Notice also that you get all of these for free. I mean, this is the normal color we will write. You don't see anything, right? You don't see any special checked iterators and so on.
Mm-hmm.
These are the normal code you would write. So it means that you rebuild your code that is already existing and you get secure, a little bit more security in the container and the iterators for free, basically.
Excellent.
You just have, I mean, to pay a little bit of price of performance. But, I mean, stuff like this seems a little bit, seems innocuous, but mm-hmm. in the end, I mean, of course, this code is very silly, right? But sometimes the vector is somewhere else. You don't know how much space there is and so on.
Yeah.
So it's the classical problems, right? So it's still another buffer over RAM, but it's just disguised with the
sure.
some modern.
So in other words, somebody could be some other process or something could be passing you
yeah.
a vector
and
then you know nothing about it.
Yeah. Technically, you should check before, right?
Yeah.
A good programmer is always checking. Do I have enough room? Then yes, I do the copy, right?
Sure.
But, I mean, that would have worked also for the C,
yeah.
APIs, and so on. So yeah. it's something that, of course, if you already do these checks,
mm-hmm.
then we are more than happy. We also provided you with something standard decks. I'm going to delete this now.
Sure.
Since you have the record.
Yeah.
So if you're already sure, we provide you with something standard decks that is called unchecked copy. That doesn't do any check. Basically.
Sure.
So.
And you should only use that if you're checking yourself.
Yes.
Don't
yeah.
get all.
Don't get all.
Per
yeah.
freak out.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Or you turn off secure CL. Basically.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's okay. I mean, a lot of people are kind of turning off secure CL in these days. But I think I was again down there in SD West, a kind of a conference in Santa Clara,
uh-huh.
and I see a lot, much more interest in security and so on coming up.
Okay.
These days and so on. So I think, I mean, this is one tool. Of course, there are different ways to ensure that there is enough space, for example, in destination, when you copy between containers or when
mm-hmm.
you use a container and an iterator is a destination, an output iterator, a destination iterator. This is one of the possibility that we decided a little bit to go this way instead of other ideas because also you don't have to change your code to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Another way would be to add another argument
sure.
to standard copy and say, okay, I start from beginning and the end, and I'm going to write in V1 begin and V1 end. So basically, you're going to pass another range instead of just one
algorithm.
This kind of a range approach. And there are other proposals around in the standard
standard
libraries
okay.
and the standard body that they are probably trying to explore a little bit this.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, as you see, there is a kind of another overload for copying, so you have to explicitly code that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to check at that point because we can just measure
sure.
how much is the distance and how much if there is enough space again and once more check.
So if somebody was checking themselves, then they can just call the overload that takes the range at the end because
yeah.
they know what the range
yeah.
is ahead of time.
We don't have it yet. So
oh, you don't have it
we
yet?
We don't have it yet. They are
okay.
talking about adding something like that and so on.
Cool.
So we are kind of waiting there. We didn't want to, for something like the underscore S function, we didn't have any other way
sure.
to do it. But so we had to add a new function. Here we try to stay with, what we have, something like that.
Well, I mean, that's cool. I mean, so you guys are working a lot with the standards.
Yes, especially with secure CRT, the underscore S function,
uh-huh.
they are all part of, they are not part of the standard, they are part of a technical report,
mm-hmm.
but they're going to be part of the C standard very likely.
They are, excellent.
Yeah. So that's very nice, and they are, yeah, so yeah, Martin did all this job, went to all these meetings,
well, that's
the C
great.
Standard was great, yeah, and we reviewed a lot of the documents.
Mm-hmm.
They're very cool documents, I like the standard documents,
they're
very precise and so
yeah.
on. So it was an interesting job, yes.
Very cool.
So, yeah. And actually, I want to mention another thing about this. So, if you think about, I I don't know if you are familiar with STLCLR, that is our...
STLCLR, yeah, we interviewed Nicola right, recently, yeah.
So it's basically a version of the STL, just continuous iterative algorithm, that works in with managed C++ CLI. Mm. It's completely verifiable.
Excellent.
So this point of completely verifiable, what does it mean for us? Mm-hmm. I mean, it means that we have to use a kind of the same architecture for iterators. If you think of an iterator of STLCLR, mm-hmm. it's gonna be an iterator that knows the position inside the container, mm-hmm. but to access the data, it needs to keep a pointer back to the container. So the STLCLR iterator for a vector is a bit, I mean, it's like a checked iterator basically, because it knows its parent, so it can always go back and make a check and say, oh, do I have enough space to read? Do I have enough space to write? Something like that. Mm-hmm. So we use the same idea of checked iterators and unchecking the iterators in the STLCLR algorithms to make them faster. Right?
Okay.
So we remove the checks when we know we are in a safe moment because we already checked that there is enough space to read, there is enough space to write. Mm. And so we go a little bit faster in that case. Not
excellent.
As fast as native, because we don't have pointers basically. In STLCLR, in C++ CLI, it's safe.
Uh-huh.
When you are verifiable, you technically have pointers that are called interior PTRs in a GC array. And if you're familiar with C#, it's basically the array of C#.
Sure.
You can have a pointer inside array here, but you cannot move it, right? You don't have pointer arithmetics, mm. so you cannot do ++ on this interior PTR. So we can't use that as we would use a native pointer.
Mm-hmm.
We just use this. We just use an index basically, and we keep a reference to the GC array. And that's how we access the vectors. So.
Excellent.
So that's another thing. Basically that's, and there is another thing again, so that we add. So the point is, if you always play around with standard libraries, standard constructs like vector, list, iterators, algorithms, you're in a very nice world, right? So everything knows its own size and so on. You don't have to interact with raw pointers. You see, there is no pointers, right?
Sure.
Actually, I was just reading a book from Pete Baker about TR1, mm-hmm. and he said you should rarely get an iterator back. I mean, explicitly get an iterator. Iterators are supposed to be very short-lived, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes. So, as you see, they are always temporary. They get passed to the function, and that's it. Right? You don't keep them. You can keep them around, right? But not too much.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things.
That's interesting.
And but let's say you want to interact with some old C style array.
Mm-hmm.
You can always do it like that, right? You can write, let's say we have V1 and we can do it. That's sometimes gonna be a 5, an array of 5 integers. You can always do this, right? Again, standard copy V1 back in. And now the destination is going to be just a pointer, right?
Sure.
I mean, STL let you do this. I mean, that's the point of the generic programming. So what do we do in this case?
Yeah.
I mean, in this specific case, because we are in C++, we added some magic to actually get this 5. So we know that dest is actually pointing to an array that is long 5.
Okay.
And we are going to, for you automatically, we are going to construct what we call the checked array iterator. That is another small construct that we created, but that basically keeps this pointer and also keeps the information that the pointer is pointing to a sequence long 5 integer.
Okay.
So again, we create a checked iterator, it's called checked array iterator, with this information. So you're going to have the same type of security here. Because destination is a checked iterator and knows what's going on.
Interesting.
And can check again. What are you going to do? This begin end was 10. You're going to do dest plus 10.
Okay.
But dest plus 10, the operator plus there is overloaded to check. and it's going to check that 10 is greater than 5, and so we're going to terminate the program again.
Understood.
Yes.
Very cool.
But the other problem is that if you do this, and you do a new int 5, at this point the compiler cannot help you anymore, because we just have a raw pointer and we don't know how big is the sequence it's pointing to.
But there's a 5 in there, why not?
Yeah,
so why not? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, that's true. Why not? That's a good
point. I mean,
you're right. That's actually a good point. I mean, why not? The information is really there.
Yeah.
I mean, the compiler should probably add I think slash analyze, because you have to think about the safe library in general, but not just, of course there are new functions and new things in the libraries, but you have to think about them in a general way, right? So there are a set of compiler warnings that tell you, for example, when you are using unsafe constructs, or there is a slash analyze that is our static analysis tool that is going to tell you in which parts of the code you're actually doing something. Analyze in this case, if you're inside the same function, it's going to know that this dash is pointing to a five integers.
Sure.
And so there is not enough space.
Uh-huh.
In this case, it's gonna warn you and tell you what's going on.
Okay.
Most of the time.
Good.
I'm not sure for this standard copy. I'm gonna try it later. So
yeah.
I'll let you know in the comments.
See what the standard
maybe.
Yes.
Your point is right. We should add a little bit probably more information in these cases, kind of to track down all the time which is the size that we are talking about.
True. Now, do you notice that, let's talk a little bit about common practice. I mean, is it mostly common for developers to be creating fixed size arrays, or they're doing dynamic growable arrays? Because they don't know. Like, for example, if you're writing code and you're populating into an array, and say you're in a loop and you're being fed information, but you don't know how long the loop's going to last until you hit a test.
Yes.
So you're going to grow an array.
Yes.
So are there any safe arrays or safe... that's my question.
Yeah,
so that's when you use
a vector?
You
should use a vector in this case, for example.
And you guys will understand, you'll figure it all out when I call copy on it.
Yeah. And also, in general, you should strive to use the standard containers, because there are different standard containers for different type of work and so on. Sometimes you really want to use just a small array, a fixed size array, like 5 integers or 5 strings. Mm-hmm. Or that it's just like a small lookup table, and you know it's only going to be 4 or 4 type of arrays, like an enum map to a, to a strings and so on. Again, in that case, you shouldn't try to go for a super performance and just use a C array. You can just use a vector and don't change it, right? What's the
idea? Excellent.
But even if you do that, using this type of array, kind of static, not on the stack or even global array, it's okay, because we know the size, and so we have much more information. And also with TR1, the new C++ TR1, they are gonna introduce TR1 array that is actually modeling this idea in C++ as a C++ container.
Excellent.
So so one of the template arguments is gonna be 5, or the size of your array. And so you carry this information around with your type. Hmm. So it's easier for the compiler. It's easier for a lot of people to grab this. Since it's really there in the type. When you see the type, it's going to be array integer 5 or 5 integer something like that.
So now, is there the notion of like a WAC safe switch when you compile?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So all these safe things are on by default.
Okay.
So we rather get you more warning, a little bit less perf in some cases, very, very strange. I mean, you should tell us when you see, oh, this is killing me. Or it doesn't work. It's too much. So you are safe by default, safer by default. Because again, it's not that these things can catch everything or so on. There are still some holes. We are talking about more subtle bugs with the iterators when the iterators, for example, gets invalidated. If more people are changing containers across processes or so on, across threads and so on. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, if you store an iterator, that iterator gets invalidated if someone is changing the collection and so on. So secure CL or safe C++ library cannot check that. The checked iterator cannot check that. But iterator debugging that is provided to us by Dinkumware mm-hmm. checks all of these, because they actually keep a list of all the iterators that are alive, and they kind of mark their lifetime somehow. So that's pretty good. I mean, it's pretty cool job. I mean, it's a little bit slow because it involves locking sometime, mm-hmm. so it's only enabling debug. So is again another good practice is to run everything in debug, verify everything's okay, and so on. Mm-hmm. So we are also trying to make all those checks faster for C++1.
Good.
We have some ideas there, and we are going to work with the build plugger of Dinkumware to see if, I mean, we have ideas, but he knows how to run. I mean, we know that too, but it's his code, and he has a lot of experience in that space. So we are going to check with him and validate if our ideas are good. So maybe we can avoid the locks, and we can have a speed up so more people are going to use debug iterators. Mm-hmm. So sometimes they turn them off.
Interesting.
It's a little bit too slow.
Just a little too slow.
Yeah, we are seeing that on the news groups and so on.
Oh, so you are. That's what I was going to ask next. Yeah. Is the feedback you're getting from real developers out there that are using this.
Yeah, I think a few people are using this without even knowing it, since it's on by default and you have to not to change so much code.
Okay.
Since only when you interact with the old C mm-hmm. arrays, for example, or C constructs, then you get some warnings from standard constructs. Mm-hmm. But if not, everything is done by you under the cover.
Excellent.
So especially from this, we have seen some reports about some slowdowns. But we fixed with that. We saw them before when we came out with these checked iterators, but we were not unchecking them. Mm-hmm. We were always checking all the time. So sort was a little bit too slow. Like we were doing n log n checks. It wasn't the best idea. So we fixed that. So I don't know. I think if some people too, they turned it off. So it's pretty easy to turn it off. There is just a _secure_CL and define it to 0. Mm-hmm. And all these things goes away from you, and you have the normal STL mm-hmm. without any check-ins and so on.
Which is really not what you should do.
Yes, yeah. You should actually try to use it and see if you have really some problems.
Yeah.
Some performance problems.
Well, I mean, that would be a good test. Turn it on, run it, turn it off, run it, and see what the numbers are.
We have it on. Yes, that's I mean, it's easy.
Rico Mariani would recommend that,
yeah,
huh?
Definitely. we have a lot of, I mean, you should definitely do the check and also tell us this is too slow, this we can do it like that, let's do it like that. Mm-hmm. So,
now, is there any work going on in the C language to help out for the C types?
I don't know, they're still talking about it. I mean, there are really kind of wild ideas around there.
Yeah.
You know, some like set pointers and so on.
Yeah.
I don't know how much we are going to do or how much the standard body also is agrees to do and spend
sure.
to do. But, I mean, slowly, I think we too in Microsoft, we have big code bases that are kind of mix of C and C++. I mean, me too, I own now is that. The dev lead in the libraries. Uh-huh. I own some very old piece of code. Part of the CRT is all written in C, right?
Yeah.
Not all of it, and we compile it sometimes C++, so we have some cool new gadget, but we don't use too many C++ constructs. I like to move to a more C++ type of programming.
Sure.
As we touch the code and we...
You got it. So in other words, don't add more C to the code base.
Yes, at least that. Just try to remove it. But that I mean, if you stay with C++, you have a lot of good tools coming up, right? With TR1, you have shared PTR and so on. So you don't have raw pointers anymore. I don't want to see this anymore. Right? Wow. We don't see this in star anymore.
Interesting.
There is no need for it most of the time, right? Why do you do this? Why don't you do a vector 5? I mean, a vector 5 of integer. I really see no point. I mean, especially with, until you measure, like Rico would say, you're not sure that it's really killing your performance, right?
Yeah, but I mean, I think for some people, the reason they'd want to have complete control over everything, right? Because when you got that star, when you have that pointer, that's really your pointer to having immense control over. Right.
Yeah, but even the vector is a very, very good control. It's very low level construct. It's super fast. It's one of the fastest things that is around. It's really mapping down to this thing.
Sure.
And also you have a little bit more control with the vector, because let's say you want to change this new to be something that you really care about. I mean, you want to, where is your speed up? You're too slow doing new, for example. Then, great, you create your own allocator with a pool of integer and already there, and you pick it up on the fly, right? You don't have to do new and go back to global alloc and call Windows that maybe is lower. Right? Mm-hmm. Just do it once. How do you do with new? You go and search for the instar destic, but new? No, I mean, it's painful, right?
Sure.
The vector, you just add your own allocator and done.
Nice.
So you have, I would argue that you almost have a little bit more control with that. You control in especially in big projects, right? I mean, you have millions of lines of code around. Mm-hmm. And it's very, the interoperability between the two. Let's say you have some old modules that are like that, finally works. Mm-hmm. But you can add the, like you say, the slash, I mean, recompile them with the save things. Mm-hmm. And I was just talking again with some other people. They say, let's say it's a secure CRT, a secure C functions like strcopy underscore s. Mm-hmm. We warn the compiler is going to give you, if you compile with W4, it's going to give you 4996 warning. They say, or you're using something that is not so safe anymore. Let's use, instead of strcopy, let's use strcopy underscore s. Mm-hmm. So we are talking about you're recompiling an old piece of code that is mostly C. So how long, I mean, when you recompile this big project, you get tons of warnings, but I did physically the work to remove all the warnings from this compiler, link, the CRT, and so on. It doesn't really take so much.
Okay.
Even with people, I mean, if you are kind of familiar with the code base a little bit, the changes are mostly local changes, right?
Hmm.
So you can track down the sides of the stream. Maybe you have it just there, and you just have to pass it to the function, and so on.
Excellent.
So it seems a lot of work, but it's probably worth doing. I would feel much, much, much comfortable also to see an strcopy underscore s and an strcopy, even if you're super secure or you're sure that you're doing the right thing. But things can change around the code.
Yeah, and your code never runs in a vacuum, man.
Yeah.
People use it.
People use it, add things to it. Or they even copy it and copy somewhere else.
Yeah.
Lots of things can
be safe.
Yeah, it's a nice library, and people are picking it up more and more. Yeah, especially the underscore as function and so on.
Excellent.
I was talking with Robert Secord and so on. So the next frontier is basically maybe working about integer overflows, like you were saying, where you multiply two integer and back, you get a smaller integer because you hit overflow, you don't even notice that.
Sure.
So we're going to think.
Those are hard to track down, aren't they?
Again, slash analyze should help.
Okay.
Because you say, you're doing something with two integers, you're not even checking where they're coming from. And you're doing the multiplication between the two. That's
sure.
not good.
Well, that's an exploit vector, right?
Yes.
That's
yes, what kind of, yeah.
People after always hear about buffer overruns. They don't.
Yeah.
They always think string.
Yes.
Right? Well.
Yeah.
Integers can overflow too.
Yeah. So yeah, we fixed a few places and we have checks, explicit checks in the CRT. You know, when you do malloc, there's actually a function called calloc. Mm-hmm. That you give a size of a struct and how many structs of that size you want to allocate, and we do the check, right? It's just a simple if, right? You verify it.
Sure.
But even that would be nice to kind of have something like, together with slash analyze, you should have something like a library or some compiler switch that helps you to improve the situation.
So do you think you could write a whole C++ program without any pointers?
Yeah.
Any explicit raw pointers?
Yeah.
You can?
Yeah, especially with TR1 coming and so on.
Uh-huh.
You use shell PTR and so on. There is no need to write pointers anymore.
That's huge, actually.
And also, I don't want to see you write any delete, right? Do you have to release the resource yourself? No. I mean, let the compiler do its job.
Sure.
Shell PTR is keeping counting the references when the reference goes to zero.
Mm-hmm.
It is called even in the right DLL. Mm. So, when you're writing new code, like I think Martin was saying that.
Mm.
So C++, it is a complicated language.
Sure.
It's because it gives you a lot of power. Right? You can go down to the meta. Sometimes you really have to map, I don't know, think about some device,
mm-hmm.
or something that doesn't even run with some other platforms and so on. You really have to, microcontroller, you really need to memory map some device and so on.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it. C++ can do that, and you can write Windows at the same time.
Sure.
So that's super powerful. So you have a lot of kind of different faces you can see the problem from, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but in the end, like you say, you have enough power to write very nice programs,
mm-hmm.
when you kind of use a subset of the language. That's what you should do in the end, right?
Mm-hmm.
You decide what you're gonna, which string are you gonna use, standard string, or ATS string, or MFC string.
Mm-hmm.
Just stick to one, right? And that you're much safer.
Interesting.
Instead of having 20 type, or your own written string type and so on. But
yeah.
Even in that case, maybe it's the right thing to do. Or your own written small, very small wrapper for a point.
Mm-hmm.
Just do a very small things, fine.
Mm-hmm.
If you stick to these constructs, a lot of resource allocation, initialization, and so on, that's very nice. I mean, do you want to use exception? Sometimes you can't use exception for some reasons.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that everything just works with exception. I mean, mm-hmm. C++ is also meant to work without exception. You can
Understood.
Do it, right?
Well, I mean,
you have to manage your resources very well. So
sure.
with exception is easier.
Well, C++ exceptions are...
It's always a nice, interesting discussion. Maybe we should just do another 2-hour session on Channel 9 and everybody arguing.
Sure.
You should do it, you shouldn't do it.
But,
you know,
it's still the most heavily used language, at least at Microsoft.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people are writing C# and VB.
Not only Microsoft, I mean, we have a lot of...
Sure. And C++ developers, you know, they like having the control.
Yeah.
And what you're saying is, it's kind of like C# in the following sense, in that C# gives you a huge amount of abstraction with the help of the CLR, obviously.
Yes.
But it also gives you inroads to get where you
yes.
need to get, writing
yeah.
unsafe
yes.
code and,
yeah.
you know,
and you
interop.
To the method, yeah.
You got it.
Yeah.
So you're doing kind of the same thing in C++, but not
Correct.
Quite as... The extraction isn't really that high.
Yeah.
It's a vector versus a raw
yeah,
pointer.
Yeah, maybe it's a little bit easier to go down to the meta. It's like, for example, doing the casts. Even from C, moving from C to C++.
Yeah.
If you just do a cast to a raw pointer from a whatever structure you have,
mm-hmm.
if you write it in C, it's just parentheses and whatever type you want, you just cast it away, right? So
mm-hmm.
type unsafe.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you know what you're doing, most of the time
mm-hmm.
you're okay. A lot of code is still working. But.
Yeah.
But instead, in C++, you have to write static, cast, brackets, and the type you want.
Yeah.
So it's ugly, but it's ugly for a reason, right? Because
mm-hmm.
you should only use that. I mean, it's not even dynamic cast. You should only do that for when you really, really, really need to do it. It's like, like you say, C#, you can go on safe.
Yeah.
But then you get a lot of, I mean, it's much more complicated, and you get the compiler is not going to compile, it's not going to verify it, and so on. Right?
Yeah, that's what that means.
So,
you need
yeah.
to know what you're doing.
Yeah. yeah.
But they gave you that inroad, which is the key. You're not taking away a game developer, for example. You're not taking away their ability to write crazy super performant code
yes.
that's targeted at a console.
No, I don't.
But they can use vectors, still be...
Yeah, that's what we want. I mean, we want them to be able to use vectors and be super performant,
yeah.
super down to the metal. I mean, shell PTR, super performant, no locking when you count the reference. Super
nice.
Good, right? So, there's a lot of stuff going on. If you try to write that thing yourself with no locking and so on, you go crazy, right?
Sure.
I mean,
you have to be
stuff.
Like the late Jim Gray,
yes.
the Turing Award winner with locks. guy was a genius, man. What a loss to the world.
Sad. That's not even. Still.
So, that's cool. I mean, you guys are doing some really great work. The language is evolving. The native languages. We didn't talk about Interop today at all.
We didn't talk about it.
You believe it?
Yeah.
Oh, we did. That's true.
That's true. But it's a good technology. It's something
it's a great technology.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a lot of native, a lot of... I mean, still, we work a lot of in that space, and that's mm-hmm. where we want to go move forward, and that's cool. And there is so much new also coming from the C++ standards, from things moving around, like many-core, multi-core, from OS platforms like Vista, Windows 7, and so on, and we're going to be on top of that, right?
Sure.
So we have even Martin now down in Windows.
Sure.
So he's still our friend.
Of course.
And so we talk with him almost every week. I play squash with him every week, and I always ask him, what are you doing? What do you need from us?
Yeah.
And so on. And so we are going to be there when they come up with Windows 7, we're going to be there even more than what we do with Orcas.
Uh-huh.
With Orcas, we start wrapping a lot of, I mean, few things like, I don't know, we can talk very, in MFC we did a C5 dialogue, and we did in a way that you get for free, again, the Vista, Windows Vista C5, the file dialogue.
Sure, absolutely.
File dialogue.
Yeah.
You get it for free without changing any code again. So that's where the libraries give you that a little bit.
And that's how it should be.
Right. Yeah, that's again, like standard copy, a little bit safer, just without changing the code, right?
Excellent, man.
So that's, you don't have to change your code and go study again, you don't have to do APIs and blah, blah, blah.
Sure. Because when you change your code, a lot of times you break your code.
Or sometimes your boss doesn't let you change it.
So. Yeah. Don't touch it.
Don't touch it.
Cutler wrote that. No one can touch it, man.
Yes.
But, excellent. Well, hey, so, you got an accent. Where are you from? You got a godfather thing. Yeah, where are you from? Italy?
I'm from Italy, yes.
Where are you from in Italy?
I'm from near Milan, near Bergamo. It's a city near Milan. Actually, it's a small town.
Yeah.
And there are only 5,000 inhabitants in the small town. And
wow.
We actually have two people here in Redmond from that town.
Nice. There's probably a lot of Italians in Redmond.
Yeah.
Surprise,
yeah.
Surprise.
Surprise, yes. Yeah, almost there.
That's cool. Yeah, that's we cool. had, you know, Vittorio Bertacci. He works in my group.
Yeah,
you probably know him.
Great,
He's a brilliant guy.
Yeah, yeah. The with the youth.
Big hair.
Big hair. Nice.
He's a great guy, man.
Yeah. I just saw him coming back from Japan. He just came back from Japan and from Taiwan.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So, how long have you been working at Microsoft? Like, you come from the Windows group?
June.
Yeah. Nice.
And I've always been working mostly in this building. So, it's always Visual Studio. And I first joined, and Martin was my manager, and it was fun, and we worked in the source control together. Then we kind of divided. I went to work for Visual Basic a little bit, and then that part of Visual Basic I worked became Venus, that is the Visual Web Developer.
Okay.
And I worked there. I did something like the master pages implementation and so on.
Nice.
And then I came, and then Martin sent around an email and said, oh, I need people, I moved to the C++ library, do you want to come work for me? Mm-hmm. I said, okay, I'll go back to work for myself. I've been 4 years now, and I'm here.
Nice.
And I learned all the CRT, all this kind of low-level code, and it was very, very interesting. I got into these things with the working with the standard bodies and so on. It was very, very nice. So. And I like it, you know. So I'm now the dev lead.
Right on. Well, congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks.
It's good stuff,
that's
man.
True, yeah. Very active.
And it'll be interesting to see how C++ the language evolves into the future. I mean, it's very interesting.
We have concepts coming up. We have auto and so on.
Very
There's
interesting.
There's a lot of
stuff.
Things that I don't know when they're going to come into the compiler. We are not sure, but. Mm-hmm. And also, we want to wait a little bit for the standard code to make sure.
Absolutely.
They are like, we are going to implement them.
Yeah.
And there you go, another new tools again to be a little bit more clearer messages, easier to develop and so on.
Outstanding, man. Yeah. Well, hey, cool. It was great to meet you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for all the information.
Yeah, thanks, of course.
All right, so you're going to join Channel 9, right? We got a couple Italians on Channel 9. Little Guru is from Italy. He's one of the Niners.
Oh.
And there's a few other too.
Raffaele.
Paolo.
Oh, Paolo.
Paolo's on there. Cool. All right, cool. Man.
Okay.
Nice to meet you.
Bye-bye.